Foot Clan, it's a time for excitement, so go ahead and switch things up with a new recipe from HelloFresh. With pre-measured ingredients and easy-to-follow directions, it's never been easier to try something new. Get up to 14 free meals, including free shipping, with code FOOTBALLERS14 at HelloFresh.com/FOOTBALLERS14.
Foot Clan, brace yourself for an existential question.
Okay.
Has your butt been having enough fun lately?
Oh, well, I feel uncomfortable.
If not, then it's time to start using SeatGeek. This is where you need to get all your tickets.
Okay.
On the SeatGeek app, it's extremely easy to use. They help you out. They help you find the right tickets for your budget. And look, I'm bringing my pops. I'm bringing him to a Cardinal game later in this year, and I got my tickets on SeatGeek. Whether it's concerts, baseball, basketball, football, festivals, anything else, SeatGeek puts tickets from all over the web in one place to make buying simple. They rate the tickets from 0 to 10 to make sure you're getting a good deal, and it's easy. Green means good, red means bad. And you can get $20 off your first purchase with the promo code FOOTBALLERS at SeatGeek.com or on the SeatGeek app. That's promo code FOOTBALLERS for $20 off your first SeatGeek order. SeatGeek, get your seat in a seat. Download the app today.
This is Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Friday, October 8th. The Fantasy Footballers Incognito Edition. I feel like you're in disguise today, Jason.
Because I've got the hat?
I don't know. It's pulled down low.
Is
this a forehead problem?
No, this is we were up late last night, did not shower this morning. And so
you're a bit of a mystery.
Yeah.
Are you hiding your face because all your players keep getting hurt?
Oh my goodness. If I could hide my team from the Reaper, I would.
What you will not be able to hide is your spin later.
Mm. Oh, it's a wheel of shame.
With another
day.
Wheel of shame. Yeah. Jason edition.
I'm not spinning the wheel.
I'm not spinning it.
Well,
that's true. Sorry. Owl will spin it and you will.
Yeah. See,
look, you get all the benefits though.
That's right. I get the winnings.
the winnings. So much to talk about today. We had a Thursday night football game. We'll recap it. News and notes to talk about. Way too many injuries. Heading into the weekend with players like Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook,
Joe Mixon.
You could have them. You could have them. You might not though. And last night we didn't have Chris Carson, so we'll talk about that. More of the fantasy forecast, the matchups. And the Wheel of Shame. We'll be spinning it. We'll be facing off again.
Well, not we.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, that was kind of a royal we, but it's not. I mean, it's Jason again. Twitter at the FF Ballers. Join the foot.com's the fantasy football community. Definitely head over there. Become a part of the Foot Clan. Support the show and get access to, I think, approximately 1 zillion perks and benefits, which is what we're doing.
Yep.
Including this one.
Foot Clan Friday.
Every week we give something away to a supporter at jointhefoot.com, and this week's item coming from pristineauction.com is a Deebo Samuel signed jersey.
Oh, but who won it?
Oh, it's the Muth is Luth.
The Muth is Luth over on Patreon. Wonderful.
Look, it,
deserving.
Pittsburgh, I know you're listening to this.
the city.
Yeah, the whole as a whole.
The mayor?
Especially Coach. Yeah, the mayor, Coach Tomlin, everybody over there. Let him Luth.
Yeah.
Just let the Muth Luth.
Luth in the reins.
Luth in the reins.
Go to pristineauction.com. You can use the code BALLERS to get a $10 credit. But congratulations, this week's winner of an exclusive signed jersey. Looking at the game last night, it sure didn't start.
Oh no! No,
the way we hoped for fantasy.
It was a little bit of a snooze fest. We ended up 7-3 going into the half for two very high powered offenses. Thankfully, it turned around in the second half. We had a pretty exciting end to the game. Unfortunately, part of that excitement was Russell Wilson. If you didn't see on the follow-through of a deep target to Tyler Lockett that just missed. Oh, my. Holy crap. Tyler Lockett was.
He was 5 for 57, but he had 10 targets and could have had 700 fantasy
points.
He was
so close to just another monster game. You're talking.
He had a touchdown in the first half that I watched. It was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And then.
Called back.
Yay. Holding.
Yeah, he was so close to an absolute monster game. But anyways, Russell Wilson on one of those targets on the follow through. I think it was on. He hit Aaron Donald, if I'm not mistaken. And his finger did not enjoy that collision very much. It's started looking wonky. They tried to pop it back into place. But
would not pop.
He I think he came back in and like handed the ball off. But after that, we did not see him. We saw Geno Smith. You could see Russell on the sidelines, extremely disappointed. Now the update that we got from Coach Carroll was it's a bad sprain, and we at this moment of recording we don't have further information that surgery is not off the table. But Russell Wilson is going to miss time.
For the first time.
Yes.
In 10 years.
He's been an Iron Man, but and it's so unfortunate that something that seems so dumb. He's like, oh, I hurt my fingy. You're like, but yeah, you can't. But this is the injury that takes him out. No, where we saw it with like Drew Brees, not a finger, but you know, when you have a hand injury, you can't throw the ball. So unfortunately, if you got Wilson, you better prepare for the future without him as your quarterback.
What does that do for your thoughts of DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, these great wide receivers? If Geno Smith is your quarterback,
looked okay. It could have been that one thing where it's you're not prepared for the backup, and he just does things so a little bit differently than the starter. But Geno played well, 10 for 17. He ran a little bit and like
had a touchdown pass to DK Metcalf.
A good sized one too. I think it was like 20 or 20+ yards. You know, it was a great pass too. So I'm not you don't need to bail on these players. You're going to need to adjust your expectations of course.
More concern for Lockett.
Okay. Yeah,
to me
that's
than
fair.
Metcalf, just because you know what makes Russ special is these deep shots he takes all the time and the accuracy downfield, and that's where Lockett thrives. And Metcalf's going to be the point of target around the end zone. He helps a backup quarterback
sure.
by being the size that he is.
Yeah, Lockett has like that mind meld with Russell Wilson where on scrambles they know where to go. That's poof without Russell Wilson. DK Metcalf is humongous, and he is still humongous with whoever the quarterback
That's
is.
True.
Darrell Henderson looked great, left the field for a little while, which is when Sony Michel got the majority of his work. Michel did come in for a 2-yard touchdown, breaking the hearts of the Darrell Henderson super game hopes.
Yeah.
But Henderson looked great. I still agree, you know, whether it's, you know, he had a nice game, but you could probably still trade for him cheaper than his real value. And then, Robert Woods came to breakfast.
Yeah, there we go.
It was a bit of an overcorrection here. 14 targets, 12 for 150. And he had a couple plays that he was open on that, you know, Stafford missed him, two of them, I guess, with two targets.
I believe he was your final straw player on the Spotify Green Room show. So are you?
I'm back, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, when you were talking Van Jefferson versus Robert Woods, mm-hmm. that was concluded this week. They force fed him the ball. Cooper Kupp still ended up with a 7 for 92 game. That's fine on a game you don't score. And you know, Matthew Stafford was disappointing. I will say that. He has been...
Well, he also hurt his finger.
He did. And he's been
first half.
Inconsistent for a couple of weeks, missing some plays, missed Cooper Kupp on a couple of plays. Any other takeaways from this game? It does not seem that Will Disley is a thing without Gerald Everett. The last 2 weeks has been nothing.
No, he does not look like the same player. It looks like the injury's caught up to him.
And I would say that Alex Collins does appear to be the dude. He didn't do anything special in this game, 15 for 47. But he had 15 carries. DJ Dallas had 4. And outside of the two-minute drill, you know, Alex Collins was still utilizing the passing game a little bit. So he would be the guy. As expected, should Chris Carson miss more time?
Yeah, I guess the only saving grace for Russ is that there's 10 days until their next matchup. And from what I understand, Matthew Betts was talking about the surgery. You know, maybe it's not going to be as long-term as some are fearing.
I feel like Russ is the type that he's going to play in 10 days. He shouldn't.
Pete Carroll says he heals quick.
He'll play poorly. You know, remember when he was out there in his moon boots?
Oh, yeah. With all the ankle injuries.
And he is like not good for the team, but he was still out there.
Yeah, could happen. We'll find out more later this week and into next.
News and notes from around the league, presented by Sleeper.
Well, we found out shortly after yesterday's episode that Calvin Ridley will not travel to London. He is out this week. Wide receiver for the Falcons, personal matter, won't play against the Jets.
Russell Gage also is out. So your start of the week in Kyle Pitts is going to be very necessary.
Cordero.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw the name out there again. I do think Mike Davis is a fine play this week. They have to be more involved in the run, and the matchup is good.
Yeah, I'm starting to come around there, too, thinking Mike Davis is sneaky. And what, you got Zacharias?
Wee little lad. The Zacchaeus?
Zacchaeus.
Yeah, the wee little man.
Christian McCaffrey practiced in a limited fashion. Feels great, has a chance to play Sunday. I am in the positive side of him playing. Believe he'll be out there. Jason just crossed both his fingers.
And his toes.
Please.
A.J. Brown practiced in full. He'll be back.
Yeah, he's a go, and people have been asking me, you know, what do I do with A.J. Brown? And to me, he's practicing in full. If he's on the field, he's right back to where I would have him ranked normally.
A mid-level guy, like Sterling Shepard, when he gets back out there, I'll probably rest him a week because there is higher...
Rest him on your bench as he plays real football?
Yes, rest him on my bench as he plays real football. You know, because there is still the chance
of he's 100.
Re-aggravation with a hamstring injury, but when you're a star like A.J. Brown, you do need to start him when they come back.
What about this? So in this game they play Jacksonville, your start of the week is Marvin Jones Jr. Would you play Marvin Jones, or would you go right back to the well with A.J. Brown?
I'd go to A.J. Brown.
Joe Mixon, Julio didn't practice. I don't think he's going to play. Joe Mixon did not practice, not spotted early today. Right now it looks like he's going to miss the game. Zeke returned to a limited practice. He seems to be fine. Same with Antonio Gibson. Dalvin Cook didn't practice on Thursday. It's going to be Dalvin Cook watch again, and maybe the least fortunate situation possible, which is active but not 100.
And I think we have a decent chance that Dalvin Cook is out this week. Like they're playing the Detroit Lions. I know that teams, you can't overlook your opponent, but Madison, I mean, Coach Zimmer has been talking up Alexander Madison as of recently, and if they have the confidence in him that he can carry the rushing attack against the Lions, a very inferior opponent, then it for the long term of the season, it would make sense to give Dalvin Cook a week off.
Unfortunately, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, both early games this week, so it'll make the decisions a little easier.
Chase Edmonds didn't practice on Thursday with a shoulder injury, worked on the side. Today's a big day to find out if there's something really brewing there, or if this was just a small thing. And then kind of got blindsided this morning. TJ Hockenson was limited on Thursday, and then the Lions beat writer, Dave Brickett, reported that Dan Campbell said Hockenson has a chance to play.
What? I mean, here's the thing. We knew that he was, you know, a limited participant, with a knee designation, and you know, we saw this, but nobody made it seem like it was a worrisome, a serious thing possible of missing a game. But then I trade for him last night.
Oh,
and now it's like, oh yeah, he's got, don't worry, he's got a chance to play.
Now, is this
George Kittle chance to play like last week?
Is this like everyone has a chance to play? Is this a good chance?
I don't think it's that one, Mike.
Yeah, I mean,
you have to make plans.
You have to make plans, and those plans hurts. Those plans hurts a lot.
Oof. Yeah, you're not wrong.
You're hurting.
That's
big of you to admit that publicly, that you might be hurting this week.
I might be hurting. I would prefer to be Conklining, and I would prefer to be Dan Arnold.
It's Conking.
So Dan Arnold, Zach Ertz, Tyler Conklin.
Now,
Falcons ends out.
I don't know. What about old Ricky Seals Jones?
I would prefer he'd be fourth on the list.
Which do you prefer to do though? The conk conk or the
conk 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 or the seal noise is better than the seal.
I like the seal noise.
Well, I mean, if it was kissed by a rose, yeah. But this is the animal.
Yeah. That song is...
Oh, it's a mad jam.
That song still slays, people. Fire that thing
up. In case you wonder.
Oh, I'm just like, it's one of those 90s songs where people might be like, oh, you know, it's overrated. No, that song will punch you right in the feels.
Batman Forever?
Yes. Which, that movie sucks.
All right. Nyheim Hines didn't practice. Jimmy G didn't practice. George Kittle didn't practice. Elijah Mitchell was limited. And right now, it seems like maybe it's a Trey Lance.
I think it'll be.
Appear that that's. I think we're late enough in the week. And the quote from Shanahan was talking about how Jimmy Garoppolo has to be able to fully step into his throw. Those aren't inspiring words.
If Russell is a fast healer, I think Jimmy G's on the other side of things.
He's a fast injurer.
Yes, he is.
Well said, Mike. Devontae Parker, sore hamstring.
Ah, come on,
game time decision for a player with an opportunity. I mean, Jalen Waddle, the last man standing. Mike Gesicki.
Yep, those two, and then close your eyes and put them in your lineup.
All right, any other headline injury players that you want to talk about? We'll have the Injury Blitz podcast from our my new podcast co-host, Matthew Betts.
Oh, yes.
The only other one I would highlight is Curtis Samuel did not practice on Thursday. We talked about the Wednesday. Maybe they were just resting him.
Yeah.
My groin. This is not a couple weeks thing. This is going on 6 months. So I'll just say it. I'll say it. He is my drop for my tight end pickup. He's already set queued to drop in the morning.
The Giants wide receivers, Shepard and Slayton, they did not practice on Thursday. So I would be moving forward with that they will be out and adjusting the rankings there. And Teddy Bridgewater limited again. So he's at least on track that he could clear the concussion protocol.
I don't like saying it out loud, but again, this is one of the highest over-unders of the week, the Dallas-New York game. Tony, Galladay.
Yes.
Ingram.
Yeah, I don't think I'd play Ingram.
He was on every one of the waivers that I looked at, and I would put him sixth.
I think he'll do all right this week.
I mean, he
has a plan. His plan is to get targeted a ton and not produce for fantasy.
That's right. He's so good at that, man. Yes. I don't know if there's ever been a player who has been targeted more and produced less for as long a period of time as Evan Ingram.
Yeah, you know how we say, like, the Kyle Pitts, I was like, oh, just trust the more predictable metrics?
Mm-hmm.
With Ingram, just trust the lack of production.
Yeah. Yeah, results over process with Evan Ingram.
All right, that was today's news and notes brought to you by Sleeper, the leader in breaking news alerts. We're going to jump right into the matchups. And before we do that, I want to thank HelloFresh. Look, you know the story. HelloFresh. Fresh, pre-measured ingredients, mouth-watering seasonal recipes, and shows up at your doorstep. No more grocery store trips. You can actually save money because you get them all portioned the way you need to actually cook the meal. That's why they're America's number one meal kit. So if you've been waiting, wait no longer. They have a big family-friendly meal menu for back-to-school season. Easy recipes. Drama-free dinners. Like, you're a parent.
That's a delight.
You know how important that is. I think that's a lot of the times why people eat out is it's like, oh, let's go drama-free tonight.
Yep.
So you can do that with HelloFresh, and they've got a nice, vast menu that makes everybody happy. You can go to HelloFresh.com/footballers14, use the code footballers14 for up to 14 free meals, plus free shipping. Once again, that's HelloFresh.com/footballers14. Use that code footballers14 for up to 14 free meals, plus free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
And Foot Clan, if you are one of the 2 out of 3 men in the U.S., that will experience some form of hair loss by the time they are 35, Keeps is here to help you keep your hair. There are only two FDA-approved medications that can help prevent hair loss, and Keeps offers both of them. They have a simple, stress-free way to help you keep your hair. They're convenient virtual doctor consultations, medications that come straight to your door in discreet packaging every 3 months. You don't have to leave your home, and it's a low cost. Treatments start at just $10 per month. And Keeps has the generic versions of those medications. They have more five-star reviews than any of its competitors, and prevention is key. It can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so act fast. If you're ready to take action and help prevent your hair loss, go to keeps.com/footballers to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/footballers for your first month free. KEEPS.com/footballers.
Fantasy Forecast.
Back into the Week 5 matchups. Yesterday on the show, we covered the London game, Jets-Falcons, the Packers-Bengals, the Lions-Vikings, the Broncos-Steelers, Dolphins-Buccaneers, and the Saints at Washington. So if you want the breakdown on those matchups, flip back to yesterday's episode, and you'll get it. Magic. 8 games left. Eagles travel to Carolina to take on the Panthers. Eagles are 1-3, Panthers 3-1. The DK Sportsbook line has the Panthers -3. The over-under is 45. Do you believe in the rushing touchdown leader, Sam Darnold, in this matchup? Christian McCaffrey could be back. That would be a big deal, I think, for Carolina's offense and confidence levels that they can move the football. How are you feeling about this matchup? That Panthers D sitting 8th against quarterbacks, 3rd against running backs, 5th against wide receivers, L-E-G-I-T?
Yeah, I do think that they are a legitimate defense, a difficult matchup for the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't look at this as – I don't look at the Panthers as a defense that has to be avoided right now.
Yeah.
Really, when it comes to matchups, you want to look at the extremes. The people that get torched, the people that give up nothing. And then outside of that, you know, there's good defenses and less good defenses, but these are NFL teams. They can score them. So I'm not fearful. I'm not benching Jalen Hurts or Devonta Smith. I think those two guys are people that have to be in your lineups.
But Miles.
Miles is someone that I would prefer to bench until we know either one of two things, that the game plan is going to change or that it's a predictable victory. I still would confidently start Miles Sanders in a predictable victory. If the game happens to be one where the Eagles come out, jump up on top, and ride to a victory, I'll bet Miles ends up with a good game. But when they're down, he does not seem to be as important to the offense and to this system as you would hope he is, especially because Kenneth Gainwell specializes in those attributes.
Yeah, I think you summed it up well. On the other side, one of the other final straw players is Robbie Anderson. 11 targets last week, which was a lot more than what he saw in the first 3 weeks.
But I think McCaffrey's back.
Yeah, I think McCaffrey's back. So I prefer to put him on the bench if I can. I'd rather watch the final straw experiment from the bench. But DJ Moore is locked and loaded. Christian McCaffrey, if he's active, no hesitation.
Right, none. If he's active, even if you get half of Christian McCaffrey, it will be worth more than a full Chuba Hubbard. So he's in your lineup. And I would start Robbie Anderson.
A full
Anderson.
Chuba.
Never go full Chuba.
Yeah. So I would start Robbie Anderson if Christian McCaffrey is inactive.
Dallas Goedert.
If you're willing to play Dallas Goedert, you need to be willing to play Zach Ertz because they're the same player at this point.
They are.
Like, and their opportunities are exactly the same. It's
touchdown chance.
Dallas Goedert is the superior player, in my opinion.
Athletically, for sure.
But that's not stopping them from sharing. It's very similar to what's going on in Dallas with Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz, except we haven't had one of the tight ends separate when it comes to production.
The Patriots at 1-3 travel to take on the Houston Texans at 1-3. Reading that is a bit shocking. They're the same record. The Texans, much maligned, and then the 1-3.
Texans are second in their division, man.
That's not true, is it?
Did you make yourself laugh there?
I already knew the joke, but yeah, it is a laughable fact.
The DK Sportsbook line, DraftKings has it, Patriots -9 on the road, over-under is 39.5.
Oh, well, great news, because the Patriots are also second in their division.
Yeah. Wow. You don't play any, I'm going to say it, don't play a Texan. Including Brandon Cooks.
Including Cooks?
100%
including. Five catches every week?
No, I'm not playing Brandon Cooks. There is one thing Bill Belichick has always done. This is historically, statistically proven. The number one weapon for a team has a nerfed game almost always against Bill Belichick.
What, now, revenge game, bro?
Well, that's Brandon like Cooks has team. A lot of revenge games.
maybe that's why he's putting up so many numbers.
He's talented. He could break a long
perma
path.
Revenge.
But I'm going to bet against – this is a bet against Davis Mills.
I'd
and
play
those
Mooney.
Bets have cashed.
Okay, so yeah, Darnell Mooney would play?
I'd play Mooney. I'd play Rondale Moore. I'd take a shot wow. with Rondale. I'd play A.J. Green.
What about Juju Smith-Schuster against the Denver Broncos?
Sure.
That one I would maybe, just because of the injury, I'd probably play Cooks.
I'd play Cooks.
Yeah, I don't want to completely, like, he's not a must bench.
Jaylen,
I'm just not excited.
Jalen Waddle against Tampa Bay.
Oh, definitely Jalen Waddle to me.
Really?
Yeah, Jalen Waddle, two weeks ago, had like 13 targets.
Okay.
Is involved. You can't run on Tampa Bay. You got to throw the ball in. And I would expect
Beckham?
To see, yeah, probably Beckham. I mean, I would expect to see another 5-for-50 game from Cooks.
So you're so not.
It's not saying that, like, he is going to goose or be worthless. It's just I don't see him having a good game against the Patriots.
And he could have a terrible game. Like,
right.
This is the best defensive matchup of the year, like, going into a week. Mac Jones coming off his first multi-touchdown game. Damian Harris is a smash play this week at running back because the matchup is delightful. Texans giving up 23.5 fantasy points to opposing running backs. And almost all of that's going to be Damian Harris in this game. And then Jacoby Myers, ho-hum, he doesn't score, but he's got at least 8 catches in the last 2 games. He is a comfortable – like, would you play Jacoby Myers over Brandon Cooks?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, Davis Mills last week had 87 total passing yards for the game. The week prior, 168. The week prior, 102. This is – yucky poo-poo pants.
All right. Mm. Here's a fun fact. The Patriots have had a different leading receiver in each game this year. Aguilar, then James White, then Kendrick Bourne, then Jacoby Myers.
Oh, Mac Jones, he spreads the ball around.
I mean, it could be N'Keal Harry this week. But it probably won't be.
Yeah.
No. It could be Brandon Bolden.
Or Jonnu Smith.
Hunter yeah. Henry.
Well, this
Let's
is
just
a,
keep naming
this
Patriots.
Is a problem. Confidence level, though, it's highest with Damian Harris. And then are you playing the tight ends? They both scored last week, right?
I'm not going to play the tight ends. I don't look the direction. You know, we talk about how bad the offense has been for the Houston Texans. The offense has not been good for the New England Patriots. They're not putting up a ton of yardage, a ton of points.
It'll be nice this week.
Maybe. I mean, obviously the Texans aren't good, so if you want to take your shot. But all those other tight ends I named earlier, I would rather play over these two options.
Chicago Bears, 2-2, taking on the 3-1 Las Vegas Raiders. DraftKings Sportsbook line, Raiders -5 at home. Over-under's 44.5 in this one. Justin Fields will get the start now and forever in Chicago. Derek Carr. He didn't have a great game.
No.
He did bounce back in the second half, and my goodness, he was really close to another deep bomb that would have given him 3 touchdowns in that game. So I like the Raiders to win this one. I don't think that the Bears will get enough done without David Montgomery to be their linchpin of the offense. Damian Williams will get a lot of work, but I don't know if they'll have enough on the offensive side of the ball to get past the Raiders in that defense.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting to see. What is this Bears offense now that they are fully committed to Justin Fields? Will they change how they're running things? Like, will they formulate it appropriately around the skill set of Justin Fields? And what do they do that their superstar running back is not out there? And I imagine that will turn into some more running for Justin Fields. I'm not. There's other streamers that I would prefer over Justin Fields this week, but he's definitely on a you should be paying attention to watching and seeing what he ends up doing. But like Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney against this Raiders defense that is currently seventh against fantasy wide receivers. Are you? I guess you said you'd play. You said you'd play Mooney over Cooks, but in general, are you trying to find other options?
I would personally be benching both of these guys if I have other options. You don't know what you're going to get in either player. You saw, you know, a heavily targeted game to Darnell Mooney, but that's one game. That is incredibly small sample size.
He's also limited with a groin injury in practice today, so Mooney might.
If Mooney is out, then I think you can confidently flex Allen Robinson. But otherwise, I don't want to start either of these guys. I would. Here's the tough part. We're at week five. We've had enough of the season. We've seen a couple of games, and you've got to answer questions like Jacoby Myers or Allen Robinson,
right?
Which just seems so crazy. And I think I would lean Jacoby Myers over Allen Robinson. I mean, both have the rookie quarterback situation, but they're not equal. And so far, the wide receiver position has not done well against the Las Vegas Raiders. And keep in mind, they've played some great wide receivers. It's not like, the Raiders have just faced nobodies.
Let me ask you a question, Mike. This is kind of a temperature check on Damian Williams and the start potential. Are you playing him above Cordarrelle Patterson against the Jets?
Ooh. Oh, that's a great question. What seems like secure volume for Damian over the guy that just keeps scoring touchdowns in a plus matchup.
Without
Calvin Ridley. I guess I'll play Patterson there.
What about Damian Harris at Houston or Damian Williams?
If scoring format will matter there. Like if it's PPR, I would go with Damian. With Williams. Damian. Yeah,
I'm going to take Damian in that one for sure.
Nice call.
Lock it in. I would take Damian Williams over Damian Harris this week as well.
But Damian Williams or Antonio Gibson?
Oh, Gibby.
Gibson.
Yeah. You guys, you feeling good about Gibby?
I'm feeling okay. Great about his athleticism. He's very strong and fast.
And on the other side of the ball, you can't play Edwards. Unfortunately, the team just does not game plan for him. Henry Ruggs is a dart throw as always. Hunter Renfrow is just, he has five catches every game. He's about as safe as a PPR option can get.
Not exciting.
No, he's definitely not exciting, but maybe if your lineup needs a little bit of balance and the note I want to give here for the Raiders is I think Kenyon Drake should be stashed, especially if you need, a lotto ticket. I mean, we're seeing this a lot with, you know, the running backs unfortunately suffering injuries. With Peyton Barber out with turf toe, and Josh Jacobs has already been shaky this year, I think that Drake is someone that on Sunday morning you should just throw on the back of your bench just in case.
I do think Jacobs will have a solid game this week. RB2 type of performance.
If the Raiders win this game, and Andy, you said you've got them winning this game, Mike, do you see it going that direction?
As does DraftKings.
Right,
five.
So usually Josh Jacobs in victories is a very good fantasy option.
Cleveland Browns at 3-1 take on the Los Angeles Chargers at 3-1. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Chargers -2, over-unders 47. This is an exciting game. I think there is a Browns defense narrative for this game. How solid they've been, how they may stifle the Chargers. But then there's Justin Herbert's just been outstanding.
Yes.
Seven touchdowns over the last 2 weeks. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are going to threaten any secondary. And then Jared Cook's been involved. Austin Eckler out of the backfield is always a threat. So do you have any hesitation on the Chargers side of the ball, staying in the flames with these offensive options simply because they're playing the Browns, who have been really good against opposing wide receivers? You just saw him shut down to a degree, you know, Adam Thielen completely, and then Jefferson, they slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, I don't have an ounce of hesitation, but I have completely different expectations. There are, I don't see a world where you're just going to have 40 points put on the board and Mike Williams and Keenan Allen both dominate. But I can't fathom benching Eckler, Keenan Allen, or Mike Williams. Those three are kind of, they're auto locked. You're going to have good weeks and bad weeks, ups and downs. And right now you're going to have all of it in your starting roster. Just manage your expectations. If you're going up against a great opponent and you've got, you know, Mike Williams there, maybe you need to swing for the fences with your flex.
Okay. Anything to add there, Mike?
If they're able to kind of hold Keenan and Mike Williams in check, does where are you, Jason, with Jared Cook? You may have a tight end situation. I don't know if Jared Cook is on our waivers, but let's just pretend that he was. If he was there, would you be picking up Conklin Jared Cook?
If he was there, I'd be picking up Jared Cook. Okay. I ironically, that was a player I traded away for Hockenson. But, you know, he's been out there over half the snaps every single week. The week before, 72% of snaps. And he's gotten enough targets. 8-5. He had a down game 2 weeks ago and then 7 last week. He's involved in the red zone. I think Kyuk is a waiver wire guy that you should, you know, if he were on the waivers, I'd be willing to play him.
Nick Chubb, always in your lineup. But his NFL numbers never match his fantasy production. Kareem Hunt leads Cleveland with 121 receiving yards this season.
He'll probably be their leading receiver. I think one thing that can't be dismissed here is how good the Los Angeles Chargers defense has been as well. This is a game where I'm curious. I would imagine the line might have opened higher, but this could be a defensive matchup. Both of these teams' defenses have met and exceeded expectations so far this season.
Yeah, Chargers number 2 against opposing fantasy wideouts. Disappointing game for Beckham. Baker was managing and is managing an injury. I did something very exciting yesterday.
Oh, that's awesome.
I took away a temptation in my life.
Mm.
I have had Odell Beckham Jr. at various points in the last 2 years, and the name still bears so much weight that I am always tempted. I have a hard time benching him in games like this, so I traded him away.
Smart.
So I don't have to worry about it anymore. And because I would have had him out there again, and I don't think it's going to be a great week, but you look at the weapons they have right now and you go, how does Beckham not do something? Right? I mean, they don't have Jarvis Landry and they're going to need to throw the football.
To be fair to Beckham, 2 weeks ago on his debut, he looked great. Like the player, and he just missed this past week. It's so bizarre how there's just, something is just not connected with Baker and Odell.
The Giants take on the Cowboys in Dallas. The DraftKings Sportsbook line is Cowboys minus 7. The over-under is 52.5 points. I think this is the matchup that I'm the most excited about for this week. It'd be easy to say it's Kansas City, Buffalo. We just heard that game might have some rain in it.
A little bit rain, as we say.
Brooks, you caught the How Bizarre reference under my breath.
For sure. Yeah, cruising down the freeway in your hot, hot car.
How bizarre.
How bizarre.
But Daniel Jones has been better than advertised so far this year in terms of being able to move the offense. And Kenny Golladay has helped that equation, and he's been better as well. Kadarius Toney had 6 catches for 78 yards last week. Saquon Barkley looks to be himself in the overtime win.
Engram looks to be himself.
Yeah, the same old, but what are you doing decision-making-wise on the Giants side? Are you where I'm at, where Golladay is a start and Tony is a kind of more of a desperation flex?
That's where I'm at. I want in on this 52.5 points.
You have Daniel Jones as your start, right?
Yes, I do. So here we go. Here we go.
Mike Wright has Daniel Jones as his start of the week. Is that right?
That is accurate, and it's a division game, and sometimes division games, like promises, they could be crazy. We saw it last night with the Rams and the Seahawks going into halftime with 10 points on the board, but this is, you got to trust the process of the bookmakers. They know what they're doing. These are two offenses that can move, two defenses that can give up points as well, so I want in on this wherever I can.
On the other side of the ball, Dak, very efficient last week, 4 touchdowns on only under 200 yards. Zeke is locked into your lineup. I will say this. I could see, you know, and I'm looking especially at DFS or dart throws on my team, like this could be a game where Tony Pollard gets the fourth quarter, right? Like if the Cowboys take care of business, they're at home, they're heavily favored, you could see 10-plus opportunities for Pollard, which, you know, he's been the yards per carry leader in football. Been very efficient. I don't hate Tony Pollard this week.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a matchup that you could play him in, you know, being heavily favored at home is always nice. I think you could maybe make an argument that it's the super high scoring games where maybe they're down, where Tony Pollard might be more necessary. That's what it sounds like, because you view him as the scat back, the satellite back. But the reality is, if you look at the routes run and how they're using Zeke, that's not really just the case. The case is not like that Pollard is their passing downs back and Zeke isn't. So I would agree with you. I think Tony Pollard could be a flex option in this.
He could. It's hard to get a grasp on Pollard when he will or will not go, because you had the game against Philadelphia where, I mean, it was 41-21 by the end, but it was a shellacking. And Tony Pollard only saw 12 opportunities in that game. His opportunities since the week two explosion have actually gone down every week in carries and targets.
And as far as Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, CeeDee Lamb's been very disappointing the last 2 weeks. They have not needed to throw the ball a lot. This could be one of those games where that happens. But I think the passing game is great. I think it's just the ebbs and flows of a normal season. And I would take the combined, you know, Cooper and Lamb, I would say, will score more fantasy points this week than Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. So I would take this side based on these matchups. So if you're fine starting those guys, I think you should be absolutely fine starting Cooper and Lamb.
I agree. I think this might be the bounce back week for CeeDee Lamb. I like him to break out of this kind of 2 week funk, and hopefully the Giants can compete enough to make that necessary, because the one thing we've learned this year is Dallas, they can run the football, and if they are effective that way, you may see a disappointing and performance from wideouts or even Dak.
Breaking news.
Not the fun kind, but Rob Gronkowski is out.
Oh, I thought that was the breaking news that I just saw, which was T. Higgins is in, which is the fun kind.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, we've brought balance to the force.
Net neutral. We are even.
And we weren't really thinking Gronk was back, were we?
No.
No.
And we were kind of thinking that Higgins was going to play, weren't we?
Yeah, so yeah, maybe that was just news.
But it broke live on the show,
right? Yeah.
And maybe wasn't news. Maybe it was just breaking.
Just the breaking part?
There's just the breaking.
All right, the 49ers, 2-2, taking on the 4-0 Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
Cardinals, 26.5 points.
How come we haven't said other teams are 4-0?
But there aren't any. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Cardinals -4, over-under is 49 points. You know, what's been nice for Arizona sports is that when we're very prideful and boastful about our teams, nothing ever goes wrong.
It works out.
2-0 in the NBA Finals. Oh, yeah. You'll notice I'm not wearing an NBA champions hat. I am wearing
finals. We
hat.
Got there.
Yeah. Cardinals 4-0, 49ers 2-2. We talked earlier that you know, it might be a Trey Lance game. He may get the start for the first time in his career. Arizona is 5-1-1 in its past 7 games against San Francisco. It's something that I think is interesting. They're at home. Is that the new line, Brooks? Because I had seen 5.5 yesterday. Is this line changed?
I believe it opened at 6.
So it has moved to be, it's Cardinals -4. I wonder if that's with the trending towards Lance. The variable. I don't
think
know.
It's probably just people are taking the points.
So how do we see this game breaking down? I think this is the bounce back game for DeAndre Hopkins. You had an injury-limited game. You had a Jalen Ramsey game. This is the game where I feel like Hopkins is going to remind us why he was such a high draft pick. And so I'm expecting big things out of him in this matchup. San Francisco's secondary was starting Josh Norman a couple of weeks ago. This is not – they have not been as good as we've hoped or thought that they might be able to be. And they've been pretty bad against opposing fantasy quarterbacks as well. So I have great confidence in Hopkins this week. I don't ever really know who to have the most confidence in outside of Hopkins.
And when it comes to the other three, and really it's the other two, I don't know how easily we could throw Rondale Moore into the equation, but what you know is that there's a lot of fantasy production that will be had and shared across this wide receiver core, and you are playing you're playing like 50-50 roulette, because you know you're betting on green, black or red here, because I don't think, you know, Christian Kirk, I played him last week, one target, one reception, 5 yards, was still on the field for 72% of the snaps, has half of his games great, half of his games duds, but because it just went it went to AJ Green, it went to a different player, and I think it's going to continue to be rotating through the course of the season. I don't believe that AJ Green or Christian Kirk or Rondale Moore will fully entrench themselves as the clear-cut every week number two target. It's just who's open. I will say this, Chase Edmonds, if he doesn't play, the shorter, you know, the slot guys might be a little bit more involved, Rondale Moore and Christian Kirk, but what you're doing here, I think you can start them. I think you can start Christian Kirk, AJ Green, because you're taking a shot. We talk about it all the time. All wide receivers are inconsistent, so go with the ones who can actually have a really good game. And I think, you know, Christian Kirk has obviously shown two top 20 weeks, one top 10 week already.
So if Chase Edmonds is out, is James Conner automatically in?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. 20 opportunities last week.
No question.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a touchdown threat, and he'll be the guy. Kyler, he's locked into your lineup. I agree with everything you said. It's funny because as the A.J. Green truther, somebody where A.J. Green's had six targets in every game, he's double digits three consecutive games, I still am kind of looking to start somebody else because I don't think the ceiling is high enough. Like, if you just need six targets and whatever that becomes with A.J. Green, that's fine. But, like, I'm playing Marvin Jones over him this week because mm-hmm. I want ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of the ball, it's very difficult to project here. 22 points is the implied point total for San Francisco. Look, if Trey Lance starts, you start him for fantasy over almost everybody.
Would you start him over Ryan Tannehill against yeah. Jacksonville? Would you start him over Sam Darnold against Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say is, you know, first game jitters, there is the interception risk, the fumble risk, but because of how much he runs, you're still going to end up fine. You're not going to end up with Justin Fields' game where it's 3 and then 7 points where he doesn't run the ball at all. Trey Lance will make a play in this game or
yeah,
two.
And you might be thinking to yourself, well, we talked about Justin Fields having that nice rushing baseline of security as well. Justin Fields is a supreme athlete, a great mobile quarterback, but it's not in the same stratosphere as far as rushing production as Trey Lance. Trey Lance is much more of the Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray-esque rushing volume.
But I don't, you know, the Cardinals have been really, really good on defense. They're at home. They've been great in their own building on defense historically. Ninth against quarterbacks, 10th against running backs, 2nd against tight ends. Look, I don't have any prescription for the running back room in San Francisco. If Elijah is active, which it looks like he will be, he's going to split time not just with Trey Sermon, but with Kyle Juszczyk. And I don't want to mess with any of them against Arizona's defensive front. That's distributing 18 points across multiple players in the running back room.
Yeah, you got to let that shake out.
On the bench.
Yeah, like Elijah, this is one of those situations. I'm benching him. If he happens to have an explosive big game, great. Cool. Yeah, moving forward, now I have confidence to start him. But for San Francisco, yeah, Trey Lance, great streaming option. You got to stay in the flames with Debo here, and then if George Kittle, who is not practicing, if he plays, you're not streaming off of the waiver wire over an active George Kittle. But that's it. Hey, like Brandon Ayuk with Trey Lance, no, thank you,
no way.
Trey Sermon,
Debo's obviously in. No,
yes, that's, yes, yeah, he's the one I would play.
Also, it's.
Thank you. I know, Al, you've been really pining for more Debo drops.
Correct.
And do you
he's
feel
deserved them.
Fulfilled now?
I do.
Just wants that because he's on his fantasy team.
It doesn't. That's not like playing. Like, you don't have to knock on wood after you hit that every time with Debo, do you?
I mean,
okay, apparently you do.
What has been knocked on?
To phrase it that you want Debo drops, that's not something I would ask for.
Max Williams, were you going to bring him up?
I wasn't going to bring up Max Williams, but we can. I was going to bring up Byron Murphy. That is the cornerback for the Arizona Cardinals, who's been outstanding this year. Not been practicing. There is a very good chance he does Yeah, there's a very good chance he doesn't play this week, which would change the Cardinals' defense quite drastically. I don't know that it would do enough for me to start Ayuk. In fact, I know it would not.
No.
I would not.
No.
But it could do enough where he ends up with a decent game. But be aware of that injury for whatever you want. Whatever, you know, for your if you're picking against the spread, that's
all right.
Gonna make a difference.
Sunday Night Football.
Okay.
Kill!
Yes.
Buffalo Bills 3-1 taking on the 2-2 Chiefs. DraftKings Sportsbook line, Chiefs -3. Over under is 56. That's what you like to see. Chiefs with almost 30 points, Bills with 27. And yeah, this is an instant replay of what, the AFC title game last year. Who are you sitting in this game? That's the real question.
Ooh,
I mean,
me.
It's
on
always
the couch.
Been, yeah.
That's good. Good answer. Good answer.
Mahomes, Clyde with two straight top 20 weeks. Jason,
you're definitely not sitting Clyde.
No, I was doing the starts.
Yeah. I mean, he's back to back 100-yard games. I mean, the Bills' defense has been outstanding, so it'll be really interesting. Devin Singletary is the only player that's kind of questionable that I might prefer to bench.
Yeah, Singletary last week, 15. He's had more than 12 opportunities every game. Does that intrigue you? I mean, the defense, does that change your opinion, I guess, because the defense has been so shoddy? I mean, the Chiefs have got to be a bottom five defense in football.
Yeah, I'm not super into the Singletary play.
All right. I don't think I look at Singletary and Moss very differently from a recommendation standpoint. They've both been seeing tons of work.
Yeah, they're mostly split. I would just say Zach Moss has a little bit higher touchdown potential than Singletary.
Agreed.
Josh Allen's in. Stephon Diggs, yep. Emmanuel Sanders, sure.
Yep.
Tyreek, yeah. Kelsey, mm-hmm. Dawson Knox, he's had.
Yes.
I didn't vet it, but I read that he had more targets than Beasley for three straight weeks.
Or targets or routes run.
It was one of those.
Yeah, I mean, Cole Beasley is. It's very bizarre. It's been a bizarre season because Beasley has been a reliable target hawk, and because it was 13 week one, but then it dropped to 4. 13 in week 3, back down to 2. It's been a strange ride here for Beasley. But Dawson Knox, you got it, with the tight end landscape, you got to just ride this out. A lot of points it will go up in this game, and just hope Knox grabs a touchdown.
It's going to be a fun one. All right, our final matchup, Indianapolis Colts at 1-3, taking on the Baltimore Ravens at 3-1. Monday Night Football, the DraftKings Sportsbook line, Ravens -6.5. Over-under is 45. I don't know if Mike is even...
Yeah, I'm super happy that Lamar Jackson's on Monday night again.
Oh, okay. So
I can't wait to lose again.
Well, you will have lost by then.
Yeah.
You're playing me.
I probably lost last night. Thank you, DK Metcalf.
Thank you, DK Metcalf. Lamar Jackson on Monday night. I was referring to the fact that, see, you're attached to the Ravens with Lamar, and yet you despise them because of what happened to Tyson Williams.
That is accurate. It's a very there's a lot of inner turmoil over here.
Right.
Over I like John Harbaugh, and yet I'm very upset with him.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys got to work it out, probably get in a room together, break it all down. The Colts defense has been good against the run, only giving up 16.5 fantasy points. We know it'll be Latavius and friends from the late 90s. So are you confident enough with the opportunities?
Yes.
The game
Latavius?
Script for Latavius?
Yeah, 18 opportunities. That's a number that we haven't seen, you know, from Baltimore Ravens running backs, but they look like they're going to feature Murray.
Is there any reason to avoid Hollywood in this game or just stay in the Flames?
No,
I would be starting Hollywood. He should have had just a string of great games in a row that is wildly amazing for the position at wide receiver, except for all the drops 2 weeks ago. You need to be starting Hollywood.
All right. Mark Andrews, back-to-back top 12 weeks, no touchdowns on the season. He's fine. Although saying back-to-back top 12 weeks at tight end is not necessarily a real badge of honor from where you drafted Mark Andrews.
Yeah, he's been good. What's funny with Andrews is he's currently the tight end 10 and has no touchdowns, and he's always thought of this as this very touchdown-dependent tight end, but he's been putting up the yardage, 109 yards 2 weeks ago, 67 mm-hmm. yards last week. Obviously, you're starting him if you've got him.
What about the other side? Jonathan Taylor's in your lineup without question, but it gets shakier after that. I mean, Michael Pittman has been very involved. He has not ended up in the end zone doing his best Jacoby Myers impression. So that means he's been outside of the top 30 3 or 4 weeks. But 12 targets, 8 targets. I don't mind taking a shot at him in this game.
Yeah, he feels like somebody that, like, it will hit for Michael Pittman. He's a little bit of a, you know, for Jacoby Myers, the difference is Michael Pittman is 6'4", 220-plus pounds. Like, he is someone who I believe is, he's turning into a number one wide receiver. After the week one, like, strangeness of the start to the season for the Colts, 35% of the targets, 25%. Like, the targets are there. He can make a big play happen. I think it's only a matter of the time. It's not the best matchup here against the Ravens, but the volume says that Pittman is a flex-worthy player.
Yeah, flex-worthy. I would start him over Brandon Cooks, which seems to be our barometer this week.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't expect great things against a very good defense, but he's still a trade-for target because of the targets he's been receiving. And if you look at their upcoming schedule, they've got Houston, Tennessee, the Jets, and the Jacksonville Jaguars as 4 of their next 5 games. So the breakout could be coming when you see this amount of targets. He's played some difficult matchups and is about to have good ones ahead.
Would you play Cortland Sutton against Pittsburgh or Michael Pittman?
Well, I do believe we got news that Teddy Bridgewater looks like he is going to start this week. So probably Sutton.
Would you play Tyler Boyd against the Green Bay Packers or Michael Pittman?
I play Pittman.
Yeah, I think I go Pittman there.
By the way, another update for you. Chase Edmonds on the field for Friday's practice, so that is
great.
A good sign for those of you that have him. And the Bengals' plan is to evaluate Joe Mixon Saturday before determining his status. So just add him to the pile of, CMC and Dalvin Cook and now Joe Mixon that are
still really nice to have them evaluate him on a Saturday versus the game time decision where you have the night before. If your waivers run at a certain time in the morning beforehand, you don't have to.
It was at our request.
Yeah. Thank
you. Yeah, we sent him a note
Bengals.
And they said, sure. Don't forget the rankings. If you need to help with start sit decisions, you can go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. Without further ado, let's jump into the face off.
Fantasy Face-Off, presented by DraftKings.
Now, the you're listening at home on the podcast. You don't get to see the graphic, but the visual graphic for the YouTube side mm-hmm. of Fantasy Face-Off, it makes it appear like Mike and I are the only ones facing off when it's always been a head-to-head-to-head competition. Mm-hmm. But it does kind of seem like Mike and I are facing off at this point.
It does. Like, we're just, you know, trading who gets first and second.
Yeah, so Mike took it home this past week. I was in second place. Mike rode his own recommendations with Sam Darnold and DJ Moore to victory. And of course, then Jason lost. So
thanks, Travis Kelce. You suck.
Travesty Kelce?
Mm-hmm.
So without further ado, it is time to spin the wheel.
Wheel of Shame.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I'm super excited. I can't wait to see what I land on. Let's go for a ride.
All right. We have
Jester hat.
Clown wig.
Oh, no. What is this? No, the nerd
the
spinner
nerd spinner hat.
Okay. All right. This is good for hat day.
It is.
Good for hat day for me.
So the producers are bringing around. Oh, but they also have another accessory to go
this
along.
This isn't a punishment at all.
So we have the
Jason has
we have the beanie.
That fits real well.
Oh, this is tight. This is made for children.
And you got your lolly.
So a week after you were a baby with a pacifier, you have now grown up a little bit?
You got no, I feel like you guys are teaching me. You got to keep losing. You just have fun over here.
So you got a lollipop and a spinner hat. I feel like Jason is...
Wait, did we take the plastic off?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's ready to eat.
Oh, wait. He's got a treat?
He gets a treat for the show.
Okay.
And he is...
oh, that's gross.
He's diving in. Okay, so week five... This is a little disturbing. Again, the screenshots from these shows are wonderful. Week five, into the face-off. We've all got a lineup. Mike and I will compete for first once again. So, Mike, why don't you kick it off with your quarterback?
Let me pull up
my... I will kick it off with my quarterback.
Yeah, you do that.
I'm going to stay in the flames with Justin Herbert. I know the matchup's tough against Cleveland, but...
What's his...
6.8. Okay. So I feel like I'm saving there, saving a few bucks on Justin Herbert, and so that's where I'm going.
What flavor lolly is that?
This is classic lollipop, just lollipop flavored, which is just sugar. It just tastes sweet like sugar. Whee!
All right.
My quarterback is Jalen Hurts. I wanted a rushing baseline at 7,000. He's kind of that in the middle price tag where I feel like in a cash game I'm going to get points. I have upside. Don't break the bank, but I'm not saving a ton.
Who was it again?
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts, right, Mike?
I'm riding the snake. I'm putting the rookie in, Trey Lance, at 5,700 against the Arizona Cardinals.
So if he doesn't start, you've got to do a 5,700
if he does
pivot
not, if
at
he doesn't start, I have
Heineke?
I have $100 remaining on my salary, and I would move up to Trevor Lawrence.
Okay. So that's the
point. I do have the backup option, but right now it's going to be Trey Lance.
At running back, I'm not playing one of these weeks right now without Derrick Henry. So
me neither. We'll get that out of the way.
Me neither.
All right. Well, then Derrick Henry doesn't matter.
All right.
And I've got the other one. I'm going to go with James Robinson at 6,000. Jacksonville giving him 20-plus opportunities two straight weeks.
And I've got Leonard Fournette at 5,200. Mike's start of the week. All right,
I've got him as well as my flex. So.
Okay. Well, I'll go with my other flex since it's a running back. I went with my start of the week and Damian Williams.
Okay. What was his price?
He was at 5,600.
Okay. I do not have Williams.
Who's your flex?
My flex is Kadarius Toney.
Ooh.
He's super cheap, 4K against that Dallas. I mentioned I want pieces of that game, and that's a real cheap way to get exposure.
And your running backs were?
Henry and Fournette.
Fournette. Okay. I have Toney. So getting into the wide receivers, I've got Kadarius Toney. The other two, I have Devontae Adams. Maybe you've heard of him. And I'm going Antonio Brown at 5,200. So Adams is 8,200, Brown at 5,200, Toney at 4,000.
I have Antonio Brown as well at 5,200. I am combining.
Oh, man.
Wow, man.
Well, we've got some crossover.
It's going to be quarterback battle.
I went with Jamar Chase at 5,800.
That's a good play.
I mean, that would really hurt if he stinks and hurts my lineup. But and I've got Marvin Jones Jr. at 5,700 against Tennessee.
My wife.
Sucker for Marvin Jones Jr.
Yep.
He's a lolly. Lolly for oh, gross. At the wide receiver position, I'm sticking with my man DJ Moore. The price is going up, but he is an absolute stud this year at 7,500. I've got Deontay Johnson against the Denver Broncos. Just take that sure PPR value at 6,500. And I figured that somebody would have Marvin Jones, and I went with the budget version.
He's so cheap.
I'm going with LaViska Chenault at
4,800.
Yeah, 4,800 against the Tennessee Titans.
I love that pick.
In a full PPR, that's very
so
nice.
Affordable. My tight end and my defense for tight end, I'm actually taking a shot on Jonnu Smith at only 3,300.
Okay, I don't
that
hate
matchup
it.
Against Houston, and then I'm going to go on defense. I don't know if you guys end up with the same one. It's kind of the chalk pick of the week. Washington, 2,300. It's where I could save some money, so I could spend up on Devontae Adams elsewhere. So those are my tight end and D.
Yeah, likewise, I do have Washington at that price point. And at tight end, I went Mike Gesicki, 4,200. Mm. Another affordable option, but in a PPR league like DraftKings, you're going to hopefully have a lot of volume his way.
We're both getting down with Gesickness because got him at 4,200.
I'm scared of that one.
As well. Especially now with Devontae Parker limited, I mean, that's just... That has increased the odds that Gesicki has a solid game. And I went with the Minnesota Vikings at 3K against the Detroit Lions.
Don't mind it.
The Lions giving up multiple sacks a game, and the Vikings rank very high in pressure rate.
Okay, well, we'll be back next week. Someone is going to be spinning that wheel. And I think Jason, baby, now he's a small kid. Next week will be some teenager theme, and then you know, he'll move into adolescence. You can lose the whole year.
I did win the first week, so I plan on winning this
week. I don't remember that. No,
course.
I don't.
Oh, it was when you lost.
Okay. Mm. Now I'm starting to place
memory's
it.
Coming back.
Download the DraftKings app now. Use the code BALLERS this week. New customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's the code BALLERS only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Oh, man, this is a bit of a backfire. He is licking the sucker in my direction, which is I'm going to file a report. I did host.
Where's HR?
You can check out the DFS show, which me and Matthew Betts comes out today. It's probably already out, right, this morning?
Yeah, Andy stepped in.
I did.
Betts got first in another one of those.
He did.
One of the things that I mention on the show is how much fun DFS has been for us Arizonans who have never got to play. I didn't know if I would attach more to prop bets or sports betting or whatever the case may be. It was DFS, and it is for me. I enjoy making lineups every week, and I got to close this thing down so I can get away from this very scary-looking man. Will you direct that to Mike for a minute? BallersDFS.com if you want to enter some tournaments with us. I'm closing it out. Sunday Live, 1 hour before the games. Mike will be with you this week. And good luck.
Enjoy the football. Good luck. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.